Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I've got this anxiety, which is so bad, I didn't leave this house for 3 months. So the more I was reading about it and the more symptoms I had, and then with the menopause, it was like, wow, there is nothing out there that is available to women that is simple and bright and colourful and quick.
Hello and welcome back. This week, I'm joined by Meg Matthews, who I thought might be an interesting guest after reading about her work in campaigning for menopause awareness, and she kindly agreed to come on and tell her story as well as to offer some tips. Now, when I started to research Meg, I realised that though I was very familiar with the more, shall we say, tabloid elements of her life, that there were many parts of her story that simply been glossed over or not mentioned during the common narrative that were really intriguing. So I was pleased that Meg offered to talk about some of them during our chat. And for example, she touches on her time in South Africa during apartheid, offers an insight into London's punk scene, talks about having been homeless and then working very successfully in the music industry, and goes into how blagging served her very well. She also shed some light on those very famous Primrose Hill years, during which Meg was the third most written about person after Princess Diana and the Spice Girls, and then of course goes into her experience of menopause and how she's devoted time to helping women have understanding and access to resources during what can be a very difficult time. Here's Meg.
Let's start right at the beginning.
Okay, if I can remember that far back.
Tell me about your childhood. Where did you grow up?
Okay, so I was born in Guernsey. Mm-hmm. I was born, brought up there, which was quite amazing. I mean, you know, as they say, nobody locks their doors. You know, the walks on the beach and the weather is slightly better there, and you know, it's lots of Guernsey cows, lots of tomatoes. And yeah, it was a really good sort of childhood. My dad was a builder and a carpenter, and my mum was the school secretary. So it was great because I just always remember I was able to be driven to school, even though I left there at nine. This was up until from like five till nine, but that was still good. So she would drive me to school, and I always sort of knew she was there. And then I'd get driven home from school, and then also she had all the holidays off, the same as me. So I always remember that.
Did you have siblings?
No, I'm an only child. Okay, you're only just child. Me.
So this is the late 60s.
This was the late 60s, yeah. Okay. So I was born in 66, so yeah.
So what are your memories of the way people looked at that time and the way your mum looked?
My mum was very petite, and I would never have been on trend in that time because I'm so muscly, just naturally. So yeah, and my mum, I remember my mum saying that she was 8 stone 11 when she gave birth to me, and there's pictures of her because I mean, I only just worked this out when I was later. There's pictures of her walking down the aisle, and she's wearing this tight pencil skirt in this beautiful like duck egg blue, mm-hmm. and then this little tiny jacket, you know, very box sort of jacket. And she's walking down the aisle, and that was December 65 when she married my dad, and she had me in March 66. Oh, and I didn't wear that out for years. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, she was 6 months pregnant. But you can't see. So she was looked like Twiggy. Okay. Very short hair, very, very tiny. Mm. And we just have none of the same build. We're completely different.
Do you remember her working at that?
It was just that naturally 60s. Mm-hmm. They never dieted, my parents. I just remember that. They always had fresh bread every day, and they always ate butter, and they always ate cheese, and they had 3 meals a day, but they never snacked.
Right.
Yeah. And it was always a cooked breakfast.
Yeah.
It was always sit down, and breakfast was the most important meal of the day, and it was sit around the table, and it was my dad and me and mum, and we'd always have breakfast.
Mm, so proper food then.
Yeah, it was all like that, until I turned vegetarian at the age 9.
Oh, did
you?
At 9?
Yeah.
What made you decide to do that?
Because when I arrived in South Africa, I just fell in love with my art teacher.
So you moved from Guernsey, South Africa when you were 8.
And then I got sent to the only mixed school in the whole of South Africa, because there was still apartheid going on. It was called Somerset West Preparatory School, and it was private, but there was, I think it was three black children at the school, and that was never heard of because it was like, you know, it was never allowed. But there was this one school just outside Cape Town, outside Stellenbosch, that I went to. And
so what was your experience of that? That must have been quite a big change.
Apartheid was horrific. I just never really got my head around it, you know. The benches, and my mum and dad, you know, were always trying to explain to me, but they were saying, you know, this is not right.
What were the benches?
No, so in a park, I just remember it would say whites only everywhere. Every, like, going into the library, whites only. Sitting on a bench waiting for a bus, whites only. The beach, whites only. And then the coloureds and the blacks would just have the beach where there was really bad tides and no one could swim. I mean, everything was really bad.
Tell me about what made you become vegetarian at nine.
Because I had this art teacher when I got there, and the first outing, she took us to an abattoir. She took this class to the abattoir. So we just sat outside in this, the class, in the minibus, and because they were very small classes, and we just sat there and we watched the lorries going in with all the cows and the pigs, and it was just horrendous, and their noses coming through and their big eyes. And it was, you know, and then she just said, this is your choice, but, you know, would you? And we were only nine, and she just did this to all the kids, and everybody was vegetarian. I think it was really good because, you know, most kids go in, they don't even know. They go into a supermarket, everything is sealed in cling film. They don't put the connection with that beautiful face and the nose and the eyes and this, and a cow, which is so beautiful. They just see, oh, yeah, steak, burger, sausages. And I just think, I'm so pleased that that was brought to my attention. And it was my choice, but it was my choice. And I said I would never kill anything with a face.
Yeah, I think it's an honesty, though, isn't it? Like, if you, if you're happy to do that, and lots of people would be, if you can hunt an animal and eat it, then fine.
Yeah, I would say the same. Yeah. If I was able to go out there and... He always does that.
What's this dog called?
This is Oscar. He just, he'll go and just want to tease your dog.
Yeah, we're surrounded by dogs here. We're sitting cross-legged on the floor, surrounded by dogs.
Yeah, now he's sniffing. Look, he smelled that now.
It's very sunny, it's very hot, it's the 70s.
I mean, you're sunscreen,
you're an only child,
my skin is ruined. As you can
see, there no sunscreen
we've got
then?
These. No, you never. Yeah. I mean, we finished school at midday. We'd go from like 7 to midday, and then everybody did games from midday. So from like midday till 3 or 4, you would just do sport. So when I came back here to go to boarding school here, I couldn't believe how rubbish everyone swam because from the, I've just been swimming all my life.
Yeah. So how old were you when you came to boarding school then?
13.
And did your parents move back or did they stay
there? No, they stayed there and I came back here and went to boarding school in Oxford. When you're an only child, the one thing, the gift and one big thing you do is that you make friends very easily and you're very outgoing. So I think either way, you're either an only child, but you hide behind your mum. But my mum and dad were never going to have that. So I just knew if I was going on the beach, like being Guernsey, being, you know, I would just go and make friends.
Right.
So I just think that was the way that I was. And then going to boarding school, I didn't want to be at home. I begged to go because I'd read Mallory Towers and I just so badly wanted to go to boarding school. So I wanted to be in these and have these adventures that I'd read about. And, yeah, so I, you know, was like really fine to go to boarding school.
So tell me about then, you're going from Guernsey, where your mum is a kind of quite typically 60s sort of
very
style,
stylish
woman. Then you're in South Africa, then you're in boarding school. Are you playing with your appearance? Are you someone who wears makeup at all?
Right, what happens is, so when I'm in South Africa, because of the apartheid, there is sanctions really badly on South Africa for clothes, for fashion, for labels. No one would export to South Africa. So we had no music. They had these, like, so the music was just other artists singing other artists' songs, and they were called Springbok albums. And because everyone didn't want their music played over there. And then fashion was the same thing. So when you're there, I suppose I just remember just wearing lots of shorts and lots of bikinis, and, you know, it was just running around barefoot. And it was like that when I went to boarding school. I was a bit of a, like a Zola Budd. I would walk around barefoot all the time, and I still do this day. I will walk to Primrose Hill without no shoes on.
When you're a teenager, you're at boarding school, what were you good at school? What were your strengths? You're good at sports. Okay,
forget it. I was not academic at all. I had terrible dyslexia and I have ADHD, so I was like quite a kid. But I was really good at sports, so the boarding school bit, mate. So because you're good at sport, and with these boarding schools, it was like, you know, cross country. I was county champion for shot put, which I hate to say because I just think of that Fatima Whitbread. But the more better the sports you were at, the more you got away with not being so good and getting your, you know, your stuff,
your
grades.
Which
and
boarding school were you at?
It was called Sibford Ferris and it was a Quaker school.
Oh.
And I went to boarding school with Guy Ritchie.
Okay.
And Tabitha Ritchie is still my best friend today. We were both really sporty, even though we did smoke roll ups and drink cider, and we were just so rebellious that we all got asked to leave the school at the same time.
Did you?
Yeah, we
How
all
old
got
were
asked
you?
To leave. 14.
How did your parents take that?
Well, basically, they got a new headmaster, and then they all wanted to get rid of the naughty people.
Right, okay.
You know how they do, yeah. So we all got asked to leave.
So where did you go then? What was your next step?
And then my next step, I left there. Then I went to another boarding school, an all girls Catholic, really strict with straw boaters and everything. So basically, when I was at Sibford, everybody was like listening to John Lennon and listening to Deep Purple and listening to Led Zeppelin. So it was very much like I would have flared. I remember getting my first Levi's because Levi's I couldn't get in South Africa, so that's what I wanted to get. So it was really exciting to get Levi's.
Mm.
And I wore clogs and Levi's, and then we had those alpaca. Do you remember those jumpers, which are all colours and
come from brown
or pink?
Yeah,
those hippie things. And so it was very, very like that. And I used to henna my hair all the time when I was at boarding school.
Okay.
We'd all henna. Each of us would henna our hair. That was, and wear patchouli oil. So that sums that when I was at boarding school. When I went to in the really strict school, I then shaved my head here, and I used to have long hair, and it used to be purple or pink, and then I used to plait this down there.
Did you colour it yourself?
No, I used to go to a place in Cromer, it was called, in Norfolk, and they would colour my hair for me.
Did you get in trouble?
Yeah, always got in trouble, but it was just like, you know what, you know, are you going to send me home, and then I'm not going to do my A-levels, and... You know,
did you have a vision at this point of what you wanted your life to be, or were you just living for the day?
No, I just was like obsessed with being a punk, obsessed with getting clothes from Boy in the King's Road and World's End, and that is just all I lived for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That so you were enjoying your life.
Though. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
So then you went
a big groupie.
So then you went, who were the musicians that you liked at the time? When you say you're a big groupie.
Oh, what was I? So in back then, it would have been The Clash. It would just have been all those sort of bands, yeah.
And then you went to art college?
Yeah, then I went in Norwich, yeah.
Okay. And so were you thinking you'd become an artist, or was that just a natural offshoot of being a bit
creative? I wanted to be a window dresser, but I didn't get the grades to get into the school that was the best window dressing school, like merchandising stuff. And I didn't get in there. So I just was like, better just do a foundation. So I went to do a year's foundation. So and then at the end of the year doing the year foundation, and then I was quite gothy when I was there as well as punky, but I was like, I just remember that I used to save up, and I worked in a fish and chip shop on a Thursday, Friday and Saturday night, and whatever they say about you get sick of fish and chips, you don't.
Really?
No.
Okay.
So you just eat chips. You never get sick of chips or whatever they say. You'll never want to eat them again. It's loads of rubbish.
Yeah.
Because I always ate them. Everyone always bringing them home and everything. Everyone always wanted them. So what I used to do was work there so that I could save up, because I really wanted World's End clothes.
Right.
And at that particular time, everything was so expensive. Even shoes back then were like £200. So you're talking about the 80s. So it'd be like £1,500 now. So I was saving up and saving up. And then I hitchhiked to London because I would never spend the money on a train ticket or a bus ticket. Got down to the King's Road, went to the place called the Great Gear Market, where it was just like the full-on like King's Road punk scene where everyone would be. There'd be music. There was like crazy colour stores. It was just like, I mean, I just sit there with my eyes wide open going, oh my God, this is my life.
Yeah.
I do not hate the country. I really had this thing where I was just not connected to the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, I just can't stand it. I just need to be here.
Yeah.
And at the moment I was waiting, I was getting a tea or a cup of tea or something, waiting for the shop to open World's End. This guy just turned around to me, slammed the phone down, and he just went, do you want a job? He said, my girl's not coming in. That's enough. I'm sacking her. She's always calling up sick. And I just went, what do you mean? He said, yeah, £110 cash in hand. I mean, back then, that was a lot as well.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, what do you want me to do? He said, you're going to be on that crazy colour directions. You know, it's the stuff that you dye your hair with. Like, everyone's dyeing their pink and purple and blue. And, you know, and I had all these mad wigs that were all multicoloured, that all had these punk cut wigs and long wigs and everything.
Yeah.
It was like amazing.
So you took the job?
I took the job, and I rang this guy called Norfolk Dave. I said, what do I do, Norfolk Dave? And he said to me, what you do? He said, there's a squat in Stockwell Park Estate. Two girls that live there, these punks, you just go there, knock on the door, and this was it. So I rolled over to Stockwell Park Estate, which was so rough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, you know.
Were you scared?
No.
Okay.
And then that was it. And then I ended up living on the streets for 2 years. On the streets, in cars, in squats.
You slept on the street?
Yeah, it didn't bother me at all.
What do you mean?
And I never went home.
Sorry.
That was it. I left college.
I can't get my head around. Yeah. It didn't bother you?
No.
So did you have your stuff in a bag?
I just had a plastic bag, a black bin liner.
And that was it?
That was it. And didn't bother me at all. And then one day when I'm in the Great Gear Market, I'm then looking up the... Sloane Street, and I go up there and I look into the Joseph shop. I was just like, oh my God, this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I've never been up Sloane Street. All I've done is go up the King's Road, be this punk, walk around, see rats on people's shoulders, hang out, pogo around to some music, spit a lot, and then get on a tube back to Brixton. And then now I'd all of a sudden gone up to Sloane Street where you've got Harvey Nichols, and I was just like, oh my God, have I never seen this?
Yeah.
These are designers. I need to know. I need to have this in my life. And then there was a little thing saying cashier wanted at Joseph, and I went for the job and I got the job the following day.
Okay.
And I just had this hair, and I dyed my hair black, and I had like this black skinhead.
And were you wearing makeup?
And at that time, yeah, I was. I would win loads of black eyeliner. And then Joseph called me punky. And within 6 months, I'd worked myself up to cashier to manageress.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got headhunted by another big fashion company. And then I was doing...
So you were tenacious. You were tenacious.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then I did that. And then I just... I mean, I was always... I always just said, I'm really lucky. I'm always in the right place at the right time. But I just basically blagged everything that I ever did.
But you worked hard for it too.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so then by the time, so 1 minute I'm like on the streets, and then the next minute I'm 21, I've got a PR company.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
So tell me about the 80s in London then.
Oh, just so much fun. Oh my God. I just remember going to the Mud Club Ball all the time. Mm-hmm. And there was this the Bat Cave off, which was very gothy and punky, off Carnaby Street. And there was just, it was a lot of high fashion. And we had this club called Taboo, which there would be Lee Bowery and Boy George. And everyone was doing this mad makeup and mad outfits.
At the time, were you someone who would go home, and were you into any self-care? Were you cleansing?
No, nothing okay, whatsoever.
Well, you were really hard living then.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You're working for yourself then, so you've got your PR company.
Yeah.
And then tell me about the next leap in your life, because then suddenly in the early 90s, you go into this period that
of music.
People
so,
know about.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically what happens is I'm doing all the PR stuff, and then I decided that I was so into going to Pineapple Dance Studios, and I was obsessed with aerobics, so we're in the 80s still. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I decided that I want to forget all the PR bit. I decided that I really want to become a fitness instructor. So I'm thinking, well, everyone seems to be going to do the YMCA course and all this. So then there's a gym in Westbourne Grove, mm-hmm. and it's in Lambton Place. Mm-hmm. And it was called Lambton Place. I forget what it's called now.
Probably Works West.
Yeah, that's it now. But so anyway, I went there. got the job, and then I was on the reception, and I was like, so when can I start to be a trainer? And they were like, no, you have to go to like Loughborough, Meg, and you have to do a degree in sports science. And I was like, oh, so I mean, I've given all my jobs up now just to do this. And they were like, yeah. So I thought, not letting this go to her. So I was giving towel and locker keys out, and I was just thinking, right, this is the bit I'm going to move. And then I happened to be, Warner Brothers had a corporate membership there, mm-hmm. and there were so many different people coming and going, like amazing people. And then this person who was Michael Rosenblatt, I think he's still the head of Warner's mm-hmm. US, he said, oh, we just signed this act called Betty Boo, and we really need you to manage her. And okay. I was like, oh my god. He said, well, she's got her American manager, I think he managed like Seal and Prince and stuff like that. So, but he can't be here, he's too busy. So I put you forward. And I was going, what? I'm here giving out towels and locker keys. Mm-hmm. He said, you can do this. So I left there, walked away into this job. He said, just be a sponge, learn absolutely everything about the music industry. Mm-hmm. He said, it will be so, he said, you've got the best, you're going to have the best people here. You're going to have the best press people, the best marketing people. Just sit and learn. She's a priority act. You'll never have to beg for anything. They'll just throw money at you. So I just did that.
Can I ask you something about when you started doing that job? For some people, dressing the part of a job is part of the job. Did you change anything about the way you looked, or were you still just doing you?
I was just very high fashion all the time. So like at this sort of time, I was wearing, I would always be wearing like Gaultier, or I'd be wearing Alaïa. I mean, I was like, I had the best Alaïa wardrobe that, you know, because I just always owed Joseph shitloads of money. I never got a full Weightex. No, it's all gone now.
Okay.
But I was always sort of what was at the forefront of fashion. I was very like that.
Okay,
and I had lots of expensive pieces. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, because I didn't have a lot of money, but I'd have sort of key pieces, like amazing boots or whatever was in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So then you've mentioned a product called Noxzema cream to
Noxzema,
me.
Noxzema, yeah,
were
amazing.
Were you using that at the time? What is that?
I was using that back in the early days when I was like going from squat to squat. That's where this girl I met, she first told me about it. And you put it on your face. It's like this menthol wash, and sort of makes your eyes sort of water a bit. But it's really good at getting blackheads out, and would really clean, and you feel really fresh after. Now, think Noxzema. What you would have known here, because it's from the States.
Mm-hmm.
So this girl that I sort of squatted with, I don't know how she got it or where she got it, but she always seemed to manage to get it. Mm. But if you now know, you only see Noxzema as men's shaving foam.
Okay.
If you see it, it's a blue thing, it says Noxzema on it, and it's men's shaving foam.
Yeah.
But this stuff is quite amazing. I have to bring you some when I go to the States. I'll bring you some back.
Yes, please.
It's really, they still sell it now. It's still a huge seller.
Okay, yeah, I'd be curious to try that. Okay, so you've changed your job.
Yeah, so I changed my job, and I'm doing PR, and I do this with Betty Boo, and I've learned everything, and then I decided to leave there. I set up my own music management company called Flavor, and I move into the world of hip hop, and then I start doing things as remixes, and then I start working for Def Jam.
Mm-hmm. And were you into the music? Was it like exciting for you?
I was a bit excited about it because I was working with things like before the Fugees, before they came over here.
Oh wow! Okay.
And all the Def Jam and all the hip hop acts, because no hip hop acts could be played on Radio One.
Mm-hmm.
So then they would all give me their white labels, and then I would send them out to all pirate radio stations. Mm-hmm. So I was like really in with like a lot of very cool people.
Right. Yeah.
And then I decided I would get into doing remixes, and there was only big people like Dave Morales and Frankie Knuckles doing it. And then I came along, and I had all these young boys from Shepherd's Bush. And then before you know it, I'm remixing Salt and Pepper, the only remix out of the US. I get Ice-T, his only top 20 UK hit.
Okay.
I'm doing Seal, I'm doing Kylie, I'm just doing everybody.
So
everybody, yeah, you name it. And I was the forefront of like giving everybody the best remixes in the country. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that is an all black. I had no idea what I was doing. I would just walk in with these heads of all these record companies from Sony to London to EMI. I'd sit there and they'd go, we need a remix. And I'd go, yes, so-and-so will be really good. Send me the DAT, I'll book the studio, I'll get live strings in. I mean, I would but I was just, hadn't just blagged the whole thing.
Okay, but you must have been quite convincing.
I was very convincing. You ask any of them now, very convincing, all those guys. They're all like heads of all the record companies now, and they still talk about it to this day.
Wow. Tell me about this whole big Primrose Hill thing.
Right, okay, so then I'm doing that, and then I meet Noel, and then I start to work at Creation Records, where I'm artist liaison.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Primrose Hill thing was like, we just happened to that all of us just ended up living here, and I'm still here.
Yeah.
And I love it. So we were just all living here, and it was just a very, you know, it just, I don't, you know, when these things happen, like when Andy Warhol or what these scenes happen, and then all these sort of people get together. I think they're all sort of brought together for some reason, because you don't actually sit there and go, you, we're all going to move. So you don't go, Ewan McGregor, Sean Pertwee, Jude Law, Sadie Frost, Kate Moss, James Brett, you don't, you know, Polo, you don't just all of a sudden go to, we're all going to move there. You just sort of go there, and then you all sort of find each other. Very natural thing. It's like when people say it, it's just like, I just don't know why we just all ended up in the pub there on a Friday night. Yeah. We just all seem to be here.
I think my thing about that is that it's so embedded. I was a young girl at the time, and that was a thing that you couldn't possibly open a magazine, a Heat magazine, without seeing something about either Britpop or the Primrose Hill set. As someone who was right in the hub of that, kind of whether that felt empowering or not.
Right, okay, when you're in it, this is the thing, you never feel what you're in it, because you're just day-to-day living it. It's like when, it's like years, it's not even like when you sort of come out of it, it's like years later, it's like when I speak to journalists or people talk to me, or, you know, it's like 10 years on, I'm like, wow. It's like BBC Two did a documentary in the summer of 97, and they said, can we ask you a few questions? And I was like, yeah. And they said, we just want to make, you know, just would like you to know that you were the third most written about female. It was Lady Diana, the Spice Girls, and then you.
No.
In the tabloids, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did you buy them? Did you look at them?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
Hated every minute.
I love that you say that, though.
Yeah, of course I did. I was just like, what's in it today? Okay, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
So every day, it wasn't a day that I wasn't in one tabloid.
And then tell me about seeing yourself, seeing a picture of yourself where you haven't controlled it, you haven't uploaded it. How did that impact the way you felt about the way you looked at all?
You know what? The paparazzi, or the press, okay, if you're in with them and they like you at the time, and it still goes on to today, you can see people that always get written about in the Daily Mail, that they're always never, they just get away with murder or whatever, and then you can see the ones that are picked on. Okay. You know what I mean? It's just, you see a cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, from Britney, they loved Britney and then they tore her apart, and then she ended up doing all what she did, but they should have just left her alone. You can do it with anything. You can get a bad picture of them. Mm-hmm. You can just, you know, because it's happened to me. They build me up, and then me and Noel split up, and they decided to sort of, oh, we'll go for her now.
You know
what I mean? And then I had so much bad press.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have any control of it, because at the time, I never, up until today, I've never had a PR person.
The 90s look, very tanned.
Very tanned. I wanted to be Pamela Anderson. As you can see, I've taken my fake boobs out. I just was like, Ugg boots, cut-off shorts. Loads of blonde hair, loads of suntan, and that's really basically what.
Tell me what you were using at the time.
What products?
Sorry, oh god. Sorry, what products you were using at the time in your regime?
Oh, Dr. Hauschka was, that's all I used.
Okay.
Yeah, through the 90s,
it was definitely,
rose cream, yeah.
Yeah, that was quite cult. And and your hair was very blonde at the time.
Very blonde, yeah.
And were you looking after it in any way, or were you just?
Yeah, I always looked after my hair.
Mm. Who was colouring it? Do you remember?
John Frieda.
Okay, yeah.
John Frieda.
Fantastic.
I still go to Nicola Clark at John Frieda now.
Nicola Clark's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still go there now.
Great.
But I have Shannon there. I don't have Nicola, I have Shannon, because Shannon's really good.
Shannon's amazing. Yeah, yes. I've seen Shannon. She's brilliant.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. And I love her really vibe. And she just like loves to be in Ibiza.
And, she's very cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So, because you can't, it's so hard to get in with Nicola. So
Nicola's like,
so me and Anais both have a hair by Shannon, but it's quite mad that we were at John Frieda and now we're still at John Frieda.
So tell me about then the period. I don't want to sort of get tabloid on it, but I've got down, like, you know, depression, rehab, like the difficult times.
So,
basically.
Okay, so I went to rehab, but I never got depressed. But my doctor wrote, because I had depression, so it didn't say I had gone to rehab.
Okay.
I really don't know why, but back then it wasn't as open as it is now.
Yeah.
So we're talking. So 12 years ago.
Okay.
So it wasn't really talked about. Like, I was always photographed, Meg falling out of a club, you know, doing a line of cocaine, whatever. But then it was really like, I was sort of one of the first sort of people. And the more work I've done on myself, which definitely from AA has just been amazing, because it's given me the tools to really live life and to like work the steps and know really what I'm doing.
Do you continue to go to those meetings?
Yeah. And I think it's, without that, I wouldn't have got a spiritual program. And without a spiritual program, I mean, I wouldn't, like, you know, it's, that, you know, you say God or a higher power or whatever, mm-hmm. but it just means that I don't control everything, because when Meg controls it, it doesn't work. But yeah. if I hand it over, you know, when you're worrying and then, you know, you sort of say, look, I'm just going to hand it over. It feels so much better because, you know, you can keep worrying, but you just learn to trust these things and to be able to live your life, mm-hmm. you know, so... You know, you just, you don't live in ego and you don't live in self. And I make sure that I'm just not obsessing with me. So at that time when there was all that tabloid stuff, I just wasn't prepared and I wouldn't have known how. But now I just let things go. I don't really take them on board. And I just think, because at that moment, I'm just thinking, oh my God, what's everyone thinking? I don't really care. I mean,
but I think there's this thing, you're a human at the center of something. And to be human and to be scrutinized and to be watched is incredibly hard.
Yeah, it is. But then I mean, you know, what they say, it's just like, you know, all those people that are reading it don't know me anyway. Mm. And the people that do know me love me anyway. So I don't need everybody else there to, like, you know, they can write whatever they want and think whatever they want.
Tell me about menopause.
Okay, so no one prepared me for this. Mm. I mean, I gave birth in an hour and 15 minutes. I just was very easy. It was just, I don't know what people were complaining about. I watched telly. I watched Big Breakfast, followed by Trisha, followed by This Morning. And then I started pushing at midday and I gave birth at 1:15.
God, okay.
And yeah, and I had not everybody in the room with me. Mm-hmm. Noel, my best friend, I mean, everyone was there, and I just didn't make a noise either. And I know, it's very bizarre. And then I got out of the shower and then I opened a bottle of champagne and then everyone came in the room and we were, you know.
God, sounds amazing.
Yeah,
sounds
it was. Like I think I stayed about 7 days in the Portland.
The Portland.
Yeah, I had my own room and I just was like, oh God, I really don't want to go home. You know, you give birth, you do all this stuff. Did anybody ever tell me, my gynecologist or whatever, going, you know, getting older, did anyone say to me, oh yeah, don't forget, keep an eye out for, you know, being perimenopausal or the menopause.
Perimenopausal is premenopausal.
Premenopausal, which can, you know, 1 in 100 women will start in their early 40s. Okay. And 1 in 1,000 in their 30s.
Wow.
You know, and I now I know the symptoms. I can actually look back at when I was about 38 or 39. I gave Nais birth when I was, I think it was 36, or 35, 36. I remember now that the times when I was getting these awful periods of feeling anxious, feeling a bit flat, getting foggy brain, aching, headaches, nausea, swollen boobs. I was having all this back then, and then I used to self-medicate. So I just think, oh, I don't feel right, and I'll just drink some more, you know, because it was, you know, the 90s was a bit like that.
Yeah.
So it would just be, let's have another drink sort of thing. So I just think I would self-medicate a lot.
And those aren't traditional menopause symptoms.
No, I know, see, but that, what are traditional? This is what I'm saying. This is what I thought. Mm. I thought from Sex in the City, having that hot flush, and when Samantha's going through where, you know, I never had that. I've not had that, but I've had 24 other symptoms. Electric shock, dry mouth syndrome, dry eye syndrome.
I've never even heard of
that. Yeah, there's all this. The estrogen has a lot to say. I mean, it dries everything out.
Okay.
Your vagina, your eyes and your mouth.
Oh, so you're feeling that, and then... So, how much was it affecting you then? So you were drinking through it and then later on...
No, that I mean, back then I didn't know. When I just feel a bit offish, I would sort of drink on a feeling. So I think, oh yeah, I was feeling back there. But then when I came... So I was sober when I got in the menopause.
Yeah.
So I mean, I was sort of sitting with it and thinking, oh God, what's happening? And then this social anxiety. I've got this anxiety which was so bad. I didn't leave this house for 3 months. So the more I was reading about it and the more symptoms I had, and then with the menopause, it was like... Wow, there is nothing out there that is available to women that is simple and bright and colourful and quick, which is what I needed with my ADHD and dyslexia. Right. I don't want a massive book.
Yeah.
I wanted things that were quick.
Yeah.
And I could go to each thing and there was like a message and something about it and then go on the website and then read up into detail. But always me just talking the symptom through and keeping it like I wanted to keep, you know, that I would want to read.
What did you do? So did you read up on it?
Everything I got was just talking to other women.
Right. Okay. So you
I did
learned,
everything yeah. by, and I think because I can talk like that is because of going to AA and not, you're about to share everything. So you feel very like, you're very open about yourself and the way of your feelings and what you're going through. So you've been taught to do this. So I don't find it hard to talk that, to talk about, you know, what's going on, because that is what's going on. If I don't talk about it, I'm going to go mad.
Yeah.
So it's very open. So this is what I try to teach lots of people to do when they've got anxiety. I tell them to, you know, ring your girlfriend up. If you wake up in the morning and it's 7 a.m. and you're just filled with anxiety or feeling rubbish, pick up the phone and go and talk to your friend or ask them how they're doing today. Mm-hmm. And then you'll take yourself out of self. And before you know it, they're talking about them and you forgot your anxiety's gone, and it really works.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about just doing these, you know, doing these small little things. And that's what I try to teach people now. And also everything I do on the NHS.
Okay.
So every woman can do it in this country. I mean, I could easily just go to the Portland where my gynecologist is and go see Sarah Matthews, who is the best, but she is £200 a pop and £700 for a blood test. So I do everything on the NHS so other women will know what to do. And now I have these wellness sheets that you can download on my website. You tick it, tells you all of it, and you can just hand it to your GP.
Oh,
so you don't go in there like me and get given untold
antidepressants. Yeah, because you were misdiagnosed, weren't you? Yeah.
I was just given antidepressants all the time.
Fine.
But I didn't know what I was going through. Yeah, I didn't know I was going through the menopause.
So when you realised that you were, what did you find helped you and what's worked for you?
HRT.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I say HRT, it's hormone replacement therapy. So comes in lots of different forms. So everyone got this fright about in 2005, it was written about, oh my God, cancer. So you just see HRT and you just get this big, I get this bubble in my head, just says cancer, breast cancer, HRT. And that's just what all these women of my age and older have just been put through. So there's 13 million women going through the menopause in the UK today.
Gosh.
A lot.
Yeah.
And one in two women will get osteoporosis.
Okay.
Because they're not taking any form of HRT to support the bones. One in three women will suffer from a stroke or a heart attack, which is the estrogen also really plays havoc with the heart. So there's all these things. So to stay younger, to have less wrinkles, to get collagen in your skin, to stay younger, to have muscle tone, you need testosterone. And I put all these on with a gel, simple rub a bit of gel on on my inner thigh, and all available on the NHS.
Okay, fine, I was just about to say.
All available on the NHS.
Yeah.
At menopause clinics, which there is 26 of them only in this country, but if you go to them, they are amazing.
Okay.
So when you're going to GP and you're having the worst time, then you just ask to get referred to a menopause clinic where you can go and talk, have blood tests, look at your thyroid. I mean, they really go.
And do you just use it while you're going through the menopause?
No, or? I'll use this until I'm 99 years old.
Fine. Okay,
it will support my body now until I'm then. If I stop taking it, then I might as well just say, oh my God, you know,
So it takes the place of hormones, effectively.
Yeah, it basically puts all the hormones back in your body.
And tell me about diet then. Have you had to change yours? Have you changed it?
Yeah, I think you need, basically, when you're going through the menopause and, you know, with your thyroid and everything, your metabolism just slows right down. So you women, you know, all women will start to put weight on around here. In the middle, because of progesterone, it just basically, the body just stores this fat around here, this middle fat, and there's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, everyone says to me, well, what do you do? What do you do? Now, I do, you know, I really have to watch what I eat. I try to eat really clean.
What do you mean by clean? Do you mean?
I don't know sugars and no, I mean, I'm not saying no sugars. I made some cookies the other day. I tried one, you know. That sort of
moderate
thing. And you know, carbohydrates and, you know, lots of greens, lots of fresh veg.
You've just been to the Lanzerhof as well, and we were talking about regimes and how joyous they can be
when you start to fast. If you've done it anyway, you've done this, you've got the yogurt and the thing, and the spelt toast and you know, the cleaner you get, because all of a sudden after like 3 days, your everything starts to rework again. And
well, you're not functioning because sugar's an addiction. So it's
and caffeine and everything.
So you're not an addict anymore.
No, so
days,
you're very So after 3 days, you're just like so clear minded. You're like lying in bed going, I need to sleep, but I'm not tired. You know, you're just so alert. And
it's also amazing how you can reduce how much you eat so much and take out all the stimulants and suddenly have shed loads more energy.
Yeah,
so that shift is extraordinary.
So I did the liver detox, which was which the two people said, let's do this liver detox, and then I thought, right, I've never done liver detox, I've done all these other things, I'm going to do this. So the people at my table, they'd all done it and they were like sort of fine. So I thought, you know, so it come and I've got six glasses of Epsom salts, and then I've got like a half a liter of olive oil mm-hmm. and grapefruit. Then I got these 6 tablets. Then they say to drink this stuff. And then at 9 o'clock, lie with a liver pack on your liver, lie down, do not move.
Yeah.
And I'm gurgling and I'm burping and I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? I'm nauseous and my head's spinning. And I'm, you know, anyway, I get through this night. Anyway, I don't know what was going with me. But anyway, talk about the liver detox. The next day, I'm sweating and I'm aching and I'm going through this really big rebirth and thing, and I'm just like, I can't even get downstairs and I'm shaking. And
oh, really?
Everyone,
so you really felt it quite quickly.
Yeah, but then it was the next day. No, and then I had another day.
Yeah.
And then another day.
Oh my God, okay.
So 3 days of this, and then all of a sudden, I just was like, oh, what's happened?
Mm.
And I just felt the biggest shift that I've ever had in my life,
mm-hmm.
ever. And it was just like, it was just beyond. I don't know, when I was saying to them, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
They were saying to me, you know, first of all, things like antibiotics and all that rubbish comes out.
Mm.
And then it's metals. And then also Anais had mercury poisoning. So I was like, I'm really up on all metal poisonings because she had it really badly. So I had this huge shift. And because they told me that the last thing is that you suppressed emotion and you suppress your anger in your liver. And I think I hate confrontation, and I think a lot of anger, but a lot of people, I would just always push it down. Everything of all that came out, and I think that's why I had. And then I just had this most amazing shift. And then on the third day, then I met these amazing girls from New York, and we just got bikes and we went out and we were with the nature and the cows and goats, and it was just phenomenal. And we were swimming outside, and the treatments were beyond.
So, what kind of treatments were you doing? Did you do any drips and things like that?
Yeah, I did loads of IVs.
Did you? Okay, yeah.
They were amazing. So you do a liver one after, which is an hour and 15 minutes after your liver detox, which is mental, and you're there for ages, and you can taste stuff in your mouth. And
it's funny you say that. I've had stuff where you taste it in your mouth. Yeah,
you're like, God, that's gone in my bloodstream quick. I mean, it goes in there, and all of a sudden you go,
it's like 3 minutes like
natural
later.
Vitamin B, you can always taste.
Yeah, I taste vitamin C if they say
that. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? How it's in there, about in your how
it takes no time at all. No, it's extraordinary.
So I had lots of those. I had ones for the other thing that I've really been doing lately is finding stuff for cognitive therapy. So I'm taking lots of brain food and all these new mushrooms like lion mane and everything, which is amazing for...
I'm going to get a list from you and put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, because I think it's... We're all talking about... I'm doing loads on brain food just because of brain fog, but I just think it's another thing. We do all this like looking after our skins and we take all these vitamins for the rest of our body, but we really... Never really. Whenever I speak to anyone, do they do anything for their brain?
You were saying that you've switched to more organic beauty products and more organic products to use in your care routine. I just wondered if there's anything that you found outstanding.
Right, yeah. So I tell you the reason why I really didn't, you know, I mean, people, my mum was really big on this, like, you know, using eco products around the house and eco this. And I used to be like, whatever, do you know what I mean? Slapping on all these different moisturizers and shower gels and everything. And then all of a sudden, when I was given this tiny bit of gel that I rubbed on my arm there or on there, 4 days later, I stopped having night sweats. So then I was like, my God, the skin is the biggest organ. And I'm rubbing this on, and it's gone into my bloodstream, and I've not injected it. Because when I first go menopause, I was like, do I have to inject the hormones in? Do I, what do I do? Do I take all these tablets? And it's like a bit of gel.
Yeah.
In alcohol gel.
It's almost like nicotine patches.
Yeah, that's actually... Oh, you have patches as well. I just don't know the patches.
Yeah, but I mean,
sporty.
It's powerful.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like a tiny bit of skin. Thing.
Yeah, and it goes in, and like you say, nicotine.
Yeah.
And now I have got this one that I just bought in Space NK. She's amazing. It's Austrian.
Suzanne Kaufman.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's my new favourite one at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh.
Her stuff's brilliant. All of it's brilliant.
So, I just bought the moisturiser, but I'm going to go back and buy some more stuff because I have to see whether I like it.
How do you rest and restore now? What's your idea of, like, a great chill Sunday?
I basically look after myself every day now.
Okay.
So I don't have a mental week and then rely on Sunday.
Okay.
I do it's all about self-love in my house because I just know that since I came back from Lanzerhoven, I've just just felt like this sort of new person, which I just, every day I'm like, I don't want this to go away. So I the other thing that I do every day with all that, I've got to say, is I have a Lumi light, a vitamin D light, and I swear by that as well. And
you
I just 30 minutes.
Up in the morning.
No, I just turn it on because mine's really bright.
Yeah, the mark to me of something that is sustainable and good. And I also, like, I did all kinds of things. Like, I mean, I remember going to a woman who looked at my tongue and told me to eat virtually nothing.
Yeah, I've had
and
that.
I did that. And
I've had the eye red.
Yeah, and all of that. And I got really thin, and I looked good. People go, "You look amazing." But I then came off it and ate 9 chocolate bars in a row.
Yeah, of course.
Pan of chocolate, blah, blah, blah. But then when you come back from somewhere where they've balanced you, you don't have that desire.
Desire, no.
It's like you then crave, when you're in, you know, everything's in sync, you want food, you want real food.
In the morning, I wake up with hot water and lemon.
Yeah.
Then I do an egg cup full of apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
Then I do a Rhythms coconut kefir shot.
Okay.
And then I do Uda's Gold 8 or whatever.
Uda's, I know which one you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I do
Super
that.
Super 8 or something
yeah,
like that.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah. That's what I do with vitamin wise.
Yeah.
And then I do my supplements that I can show you if you want to see.
Yeah, yeah, we'll take
do
a picture.
Do you want to do?
Yeah. Actually, I'll
just
bring...
Walk over and I can just...
I will bring the microphones. Walking through the house. Fantastic. I'm going to have to paint a visual picture. So we are walking into the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's all very nice and white.
And then I make us this. I have this, which is amazing.
Right, so that's Nature's Living Superfood Organic Blend. It's green foods, plant juices, sea, vegetables, enzymes, algae, bacteria culture. Wow, that's everything.
Yeah, look.
Okay. It's properly green.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that smells... that smells intense.
And then I will,
what do? What do you blend that with?
I just water.
Okay.
I just do 2 tablespoons.
And you don't hate
like
it?
Like that.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
I love it. Bone support for my I've got osteoporosis.
Okay.
Yeah, just so people will know. You know, I could look all completely fit, and then I've had a DEXA scan 2 weeks ago, and I've got... I'm in the red in my left hip.
Okay.
So
you're
now do a lot of weight training and everything. And then magnesium basically to keep calm.
Do you take magnesium every day?
Every day. Yeah. And then I also swear by this.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
That's L-theanine and lemon balm. What does that do?
That is basically another really calming one.
Okay,
it's
fine.
Really
so
calming.
It keeps you quite
it's
centered.
Amazing. Yeah, centered.
And hyaluronic acid.
Yeah,
because hyaluronic acid often doesn't penetrate the skin when you put it on.
No,
so there's no
so
point, but
no
you need
point.
To get it
That's
inside.
I mean.
Yeah.
There's my face product. Do you want to see it?
I mean, I wouldn't mind. Yeah. All right, so we'll go upstairs as well quickly. And I'm just doing this walk through. I love your house, Meg. It's very calm, Meg's house. All right, up we go.
Okay.
I've never done a podcast on the move before. I feel like I'm doing Annika's challenge.
Yeah,
here we go.
Okay, so next to my bed.
Right, okay.
And of course, the one thing I forgot to tell you all to do is
Why
I feel so good
is
because of my CBD oil.
CBD is having a moment.
Yes.
Why is it so great?
Well, I've got my own company.
Yeah.
Yeah, called The M Blend.
Can you buy that on your website?
Yeah, you can buy it on the website. Yeah. So basically what happened was I was on antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
Then my girlfriend from New York, she's a really famous makeup artist, she came over to stay
can
with me.
Can you say
me.
Who she is?
Angie Parker, yeah. And we all lived together in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And we were she'd come over here. So we were sitting here and she was like, back in March, whatever, giving me this.
Mm-hmm.
And after 5 days, I was like, oh my God, I can sleep so well.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was on antidepressants. So then I came off the antidepressants because I knew this was so good.
Yeah.
And
how do you take it? How do you use
it? You take... 4 drops in the morning under your tongue and 4 drops at night.
Oh, okay, so it's
tiny
like a
tiny little drops like that.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
And it just goes under your tongue.
Oh, really?
And I've just not had anxiety or anything.
Oh.
It supports everything. My hair's really thick now. My skin, everything is it balances. It's so good.
Oh, God, so into that. Okay.
Okay, so then these are my favourite things. So then I have... This is another CBD, but this is called Grace's. This is a friend of mine, and you do this.
You roll it onto
your
temples.
It's really good, yeah.
Okay. So that's more like when you need a top up, and this is your dietary supplement.
Amazing,
Okay.
So, and then I love their stuff.
Oh, Bamford's amazing.
Yeah, so I've got the pillow spray.
Yeah.
I have that, and then I have a little bottle of patchouli.
So although you're someone who won't necessarily stand in front of a mirror for an hour.
But this is all body, have you noticed this?
But you are someone who, before you go to bed, you'll spray, that Aveda chakra.
Yeah, I love these.
When I worked at Marie Claire, we used to spray that all the time.
Yeah, it's
when
amazing.
When everyone was stressed. For you, you'll use a product if it makes you feel good,
good
emotionally.
And smell good.
Yeah,
basically.
So it's about the whole experience.
Yeah, so for me. So then I decided to do the CBD oil, and then I decided to do a whole range.
Yeah,
and then I did
the
spray. Yeah. So I'm really proud of this because it's only, this is only 7 weeks old.
Yeah. Is it?
Yes.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yes.
I'm going to put a link to everything underneath. So if you're missing some of the names, guys, don't worry. I'm going to take pictures and write it all down. We'll get Meg's stash.
Right. Well, I think we have thoroughly covered your routine.
Good. Okay, and
thank you so much for having me. And I will, like I said, I will get pictures, I'll get names, everything will be there. Yeah. And I will link to Meg's website and all her incredible products. So thank you so much,
thank
Meg.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. As promised, I'll make sure all Meg's recommendations, as well as a link to her website, are in the show notes. Please do subscribe so that you don't miss future episodes. And I hope you'll join me next week when I'll be here with a new guest. See you then. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.